This is Embodied from the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. Even under normal circumstances, pregnancy can be a stressful experience, especially for first-time parents. But COVID-19 has made everything from prenatal appointments to childbirth education classes even more challenging. OBGYN offices and hospitals have imposed safety restrictions that are changing week by week, and expectant moms are facing tough choices about birth preparation and care as the pandemic wears on. Joining me now is Melanie Patrick. She's the co-owner of Emerald Doulas in Durham. Melanie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Anita. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Maya Hart. She is a doula and also a first-time expectant mother in Chapel Hill. Maya, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much.
And all of you can share your stories and questions with us on Twitter using the hashtag #EmbodiedWUNC. So I'm so curious to ask both of you about what this moment has been like, because even as someone who is not pregnant, just witnessing what friends and others have been going through, there is so much constantly changing information. Melanie, for you and the doulas in your practice, how have you adapted to these constantly changing regulations?
Yeah, it has really been almost weekly, sometimes daily changes. The changes that we've made have mostly been just being more open for our clients, encouraging them to lean into us more frequently and with any concerns that they have. We have increased our prenatal visits with them, and the visits are virtual, of course, but instead of having one private prenatal visit with each family, we are doing 2, 3, sometimes 4. And we've also moved all our classes and support groups online so that they still have access to those things.
Maya, you're in the second trimester of your very first pregnancy. What has this prenatal experience been like for you?
Yeah, it certainly has not been what my partner and I expected. Like everyone is saying, there's so much uncertainty and things are changing so quickly. We did make the decision to move over to care at the local birth center. And as of right now, there are no restrictions in regards to who can be in the room for labor. So that's something that we're really excited and grateful that we'll have the opportunity to share this experience together. But certainly our prenatal appointments have moved online when possible. So there's much fewer in-person prenatal appointments. Childbirth class is also online. And, you know, my partner the most recent appointments has been unable to attend the ultrasounds and other in-person appointments. So that's been a challenge.
Because only the pregnant mother is allowed in the appointment at all.
Right.
Okay. So Melanie, what does it mean? I mean, as people are more concerned maybe about giving birth in a hospital, have there been multiple people like Maya that have changed where they want to give birth because of this moment?
Absolutely. Many of our clients have reached out and asked about birthing at the birth center or even doing home births. We as a company don't attend home births, but that is a viable option in the area. So we're afraid to be in the hospital for a variety of reasons.
What is the experience of those who are giving birth in the hospital right now? Have you assisted in any in-hospital births?
I haven't been to an in-hospital birth since the very first week that things kind of changed here. So it was the last week of March or so. We have moved our support to virtual for the most part. We will do in-home labor support before they go to the hospital. But once they're in the hospital, we are doing a combination of phone, text, and video calls to support. And what we've seen is that the nurses, the midwives, the doctors, are all very compassionate about the experience that our families are facing and understand the changes that they're dealing with and the disappointment and the fear. So it's a lot calmer than I think a lot of people are anticipating. And still, there's a lot of difference. Everybody's wearing a mask. To some degree, it feels less personal at times. And also the staff is doing everything they can. They're being really great from what I've seen.
What is it like to be a doula virtually? I imagine so much of what you're doing when you are providing birth support is kind of saying, you know, adjust to this position or, you know, you may want to consider this. How do you do that when you can't see the person in person?
when we can't see the person, we can respond to typically their partner's calls or text messages where they ask questions. We're doing a lot of preparation for families ahead of time so that they understand all the ways in which we can support virtually and that it is more helpful than any of us really realized. We're really pleased that it's typically going very well. There are challenges for sure. Touch is one of the things that we rely on the most as doulas, and to not be able to do that is hard for everybody. But there have been times when I've been on a very long Zoom meeting at a birth. I think the longest I spent nonstop was 9 hours.
Wow.
Supporting a family. Yeah, it was lovely. And I was able to see how the birthing person was moving her body and make recommendations for things based on what I know as a doula that, oh, pressing on her back right now would probably be really helpful. So I can support the partner and help them feel more confident in providing that support that we would normally share if we were in person.
I want to listen to a quick clip now of someone who shared their story with us. This is a woman named Phoebe who recently gave birth. Her son is actually still in the NICU. And here's a little clip of her experience adapting in this moment.
North Carolina had a rule that there could be one auxiliary person in the delivery and labor exclusively. And a couple months ago, I had talked to my doula and my husband and had a pretty frank conversation. And we all agreed that my doula was the best choice. And then during the time that I was in there in antepartum, they had a rule suddenly that they casually told us that there were no doulas allowed. And so then on a dime, my husband, Henry, was like, oh, okay, all right, well then I'm gonna get ready for to be a support person in Phoebe's labor. Okay. And then we were told that they were allowing doulas. So my doula was allowed to come in. So I had my doula and my husband. And my doula is my mom, by the way. That was such a sweet, magical, wonderful blessing of a surprise after so many horrendous surprises over the last couple months.
So that's Phoebe Graham, a new mom from Wake County, talking about all of the changes in the delivery room policies. I am here with two doulas, Melanie Patrick and Maya Hart. Maya Hart is also an expectant mother. Maya, for you, I mean, you decided to become a doula. You also have a doula helping you with your own birth. When you hear a story like Phoebe's, what strikes you? I mean, what does it look like to not know who is going to be able to be there when you're giving birth?
Yeah, it was heartbreaking just to hear that story. I think I can't imagine those emotional ups and downs, and that it's so hard to prepare. And it's already such, especially for a first-time mom like myself, like I'm very anxious about labor. So I can't imagine sort of being jerked around and not knowing who's going to be there to support me. I think I'm very grateful. You know, we're going through a friend of ours who's a doula, and she, as of right now, is healthy and is really willing and able to be present with us in the room, sort of if COVID continues in the pattern that it's right now. So I'm grateful as of now to be able to say, you know, I know she will definitely be there with us as long as the restrictions do not change at the birth center. But again, there's no way to fully prepare for what's ahead.
Melanie, what is the advantage to having people with you in that process who can be your advocate in addition to what you may already know or not know going into this experience?
So having a professional support person like a doula is helpful in many ways. It is evidence-based. Studies show that having a continuous support of a doula at your birth lowers the C-section rate, improves outcomes for both the birthing person and baby, and overall contributes to a more satisfying birth experience. For advocacy, it's somebody who understands birth. While we're not medical, we understand the cadence of birth and all the variety that can come with it, and we can kind of slow things down in terms of decision-making and interventions. And if a provider comes in and suggests something, any kind of intervention, anything from putting on a hospital gown to a surgical birth. It's helping the family ask questions, reminding them that the choices are theirs, and outside of an emergency, there's time to discuss and understand what's happening, because everything feels more intense during labor. And so it can be hard for families to decipher what is an emergency and what is a suggestion.
There have been a lot of interesting studies about how important these kinds of support roles are, especially for mothers of color who mm-hmm. have worse maternal health outcomes. Can you talk a bit about that and how that plays into this moment as well?
Yes, that has increased anxiety for all our mothers of color, certainly. COVID is impacting the Black community more than other communities, and there's always that kind of baseline for birth these days. So what I've seen is our clients who are African American and other mothers of color who are concerned about the disparities, their support, some have asked us, the doula, to be at their birth with them instead of their partner. Something that the other guest shared surprised me a bit, that it was presented to her that the doula couldn't be there. And my understanding is it's not a ban on doulas. It's simply a restriction on the number of people. However, we have some clients who have asked the doula to be there because they are so afraid rather than their partner, which is heartbreaking. And then others who simply are making sure that they are calling their doula while decisions are being made, while suggestions are being discussed with their providers while they're in labor, so that we can hear what's happening, we can be part of the conversation in a way that the providers are comfortable and familiar with, because that's what we do when we're there in the room with them. We facilitate those conversations.
Maya, as a Black woman, have those statistics shaped your own approach to birthing and anything about your decision-making process as you plan for a birth during a pandemic?
Absolutely. And I, outside of my experience as an expectant mom, I work in reproductive health and justice as well. So I'm very, very well aware of the racial disparities in health outcomes for Black women, mothers, parents, and babies. So it's certainly been on the forefront of my mind this whole time. And I think it would be something I would be anxious about if we weren't in a global pandemic. So just the fact that it's an additional layer of something to be concerned about certainly adds to the anxiety around what to expect. And that's absolutely why we decided to have a Black doula and friend of ours that we love with us, for that extra support for myself, my partner, but to also to know there's another, you know, pair of eyes in the room just to support and advocate for us as we may need.
Yeah. I mean, as we mentioned, there are so many small changes. There have been small changes to, you know, who's allowed in the room and who isn't. There have been changes to visits, but there's also been kind of the changes of losing some of that joy that is part of this experience. And I have a clip from someone named Lucy Parsons, who's an expectant mother, who told us about kind of how that has all impacted her. Let's listen.
My husband hasn't been able to go to any doctor's visits, and then we've been quarantined. So trying to keep a busy toddler occupied at home and meanwhile, you know, not feeling the best has been rough. I'm kind of getting out of the thick of it now, I feel like. So it's been kind of sad because, you know, when you have your first scan around 6 or 8 weeks, you know, that's the first time. And you know, he wasn't there, and we actually had a couple scares too, so I had to go by myself 2 days in a row. I don't know, he might not be beating the baby until the big day arrives.
So that's Lucy Parsons, an expectant mom, talking about various moments during this pandemic that have shaped her birthing experience. I'm talking with doulas Melanie Patrick and Maya Hart. Maya, for you, has there been any loss in just what this first-time mothering experience was going to be like for you?
I don't want to say loss because this is the only experience I have. It's certainly been different than what we expected, but I would actually say, given the despair and the uncertainty of the times that we're living in, it's been absolutely incredible to have something so beautiful and exciting to look forward to that actually has some sort of relative date attached to it. So I'm still totally embracing all of that joy and excitement as I prepare and get closer to my due date in September. And my partner and I are so grateful for the just outpouring of love and support we've still been able to receive from our family and communities. We've have our baby registry up and going, so we're just overwhelmed with, you know, all the support that our baby already has months before he gets here.
Melanie, for you as a doula watching a mother, I think you just even had a birth yesterday morning. Can you take us inside that joy amid grief experience that you have witnessed?
Yes. It's been multi-layered. So there's almost always joy when a baby's born. And it's so heartwarming to hear Maya speak of her joy. And there's loss also. I think a lot of our families are finding it harder to find that joy. And what I keep hearing is, thank you so much. This is lovely. They're finding their gratitude, but also struggling with how different things are, that they can't have the people they want in the room, that they can't have the family around that they are counting on, wanting to celebrate together. Just not one thing that happened at a birth recently was I called in through Zoom to speak with a client, and she said, oh my goodness, I haven't seen a smile all day. And it was because everybody was wearing masks. And people are smiling behind the mask, but you can't see their mouths, you know? And so there's this duality that's happening where there is joy and gratitude and beauty and still struggle and fear and loss.
Maya, you said you all decided to move to a birthing center. What does your birth plan look like now, and how is that different from what you expected before this moment?
Yeah, I'm definitely grateful that I'm able to say not much has shifted at this point. The plan the whole time was just to have my partner and our doula there. So that still looks the same. And as of now, you know, there's no restrictions. We're still able to move about. They encourage walking, to be outside, things like that. So I believe everyone but myself will have to be wearing masks. But other than that, still able to try to have a water birth, things like that, still seem like they are still possible. But I think postpartum care is going to be a whole nother question. We, of course, would love to have both of our families present day of to meet their first grandchild. And right now, that we don't know what that will look like.
We're going to talk a lot more about postpartum care and that experience as we continue our conversation. But for now, I want to say goodbye to Maya Hart, a doula and first-time expectant mom. Good luck with everything, Maya.
Thank you so much.
The changes expectant parents are facing during COVID-19 do not end at labor and delivery. They extend long after the baby comes home. Before social distancing became essential, family, friends, and postpartum healthcare workers all made regular visits to new parents. The coronavirus crisis has limited the help and support those visitors are now able to provide in person. Virtual visits and new mom support groups have taken on the bulk of the work helping parents adjust to everything, from breastfeeding and bathing the baby to postpartum anxiety and depression. Megan Roberts is the program coordinator for Moms Supporting Moms in Raleigh. It is one of several groups offering virtual support and community to new mothers during COVID-19. Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me and for covering such an important topic.
Of course. And also still with us is Melanie Patrick, the co-owner of Emerald Doulas in Durham. And you can join our conversation on Twitter using the hashtag #EmbodiedWUNC. So, Megan, we just talked all about that pre-birth experience and the various ways that it has been altered because of the pandemic. Now we're looking at postpartum, and I'd love to hear from you as someone working directly with moms in this moment. What have you noticed and what have you been hearing about the postpartum experience during this pandemic?
Sure. And just to clarify, we work with pregnant and postpartum moms. So I'm seeing both in our support groups and in our mom mentoring programs. Pregnant women are very anxious, as y'all discussed. Policies and rules are changing quickly, and it's an anxious time anyways. And then we also have postpartum moms who, you know, they didn't plan to have a baby during a pandemic. And often, you know, most mothers and families are going to rely on other family members, community members, neighbors to come over and give them that support, bring meals, help guide them through those first few months of having baby. And they're missing that support and looking for that support through Mom Supporting Moms and other programs.
Well, yeah, I mean, the lack of that support can obviously be especially difficult for any moms that are experiencing postpartum anxiety or depression. And I would love to hear from you about those particular mood disorders and mood challenges and what happens to women in this particular moment who are experiencing those.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. So the terminology is important. I would refer to them as perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. And so I think the first thing to know is that postpartum mood and anxiety disorders are the number one complication from childbirth. So these challenges for moms are already really common. Pre-pandemic, 1 in 5 women usually experience a perinatal mood challenge. And just the most recent study, it's unpublished, it's preprint, but coming from Canada, they looked at more than 600 women, and it looks like currently during COVID-19 that 1 in 3 perinatal women are experiencing a mood challenge. And that could be anything from anxiety, depression, PTSD or trauma from the birth, mothers who have never experienced OCD-like symptoms may experience that. You can think about germs and illness and wanting to protect your baby during a pandemic could really bring on some of those feelings. So I think it's what women have been experiencing, but it's much more heightened with less supports in place.
Melanie, you are a certified doula, and you also work with people in the postpartum period. And that's often a period where there are some checkups that are happening at the hospital, or I guess at least one. But now there's so many more virtual visits. Does that mean further challenges for being able to diagnose these kind of mood disorders for postpartum women?
Well, we are staying in close contact with our clients after they give our birth clients after they give birth. So we are checking in pretty much daily for the first week or two, and then as needed afterward. And we always say we are their doulas for life. They can reach out anytime. But we have a whole team of postpartum doulas as well who are providing that direct support for families, either in person if everybody's comfortable with it and we're able to schedule it, or through virtual postpartum support visits where we're giving suggestions on soothing and sleeping and swaddling and feeding and all of those things. And we're always, the birth and postpartum doulas together, are always kind of passively screening our clients for signs of postpartum mood or anxiety.
Megan, for those who do not have this kind of close care and support, what are some of the challenges? I imagine it might be hard to distinguish between generalized anxiety that many of us are experiencing this moment about how to stay clean and keep everything clean and how you experience that with a baby, but then something that is taken to a level where you really need more support.
It is, and it's difficult even, you know, in normal times. One thing I would say is just if you are feeling overwhelmed, if you are feeling like you need help and support, you can reach out to one of our support groups. You don't need to have a diagnosis. Often moms come to our groups to kind of figure out what is going on with them because the symptoms can be complicated and confusing. But I would say you want to assess, you know, how intense are these symptoms? Are they interfering with your daily life, your ability to function and bond with your baby? And then the duration, how long has it been lasting? The baby blues, you know, are usually defined as occurring until about the first 3 weeks postpartum. And then after that, if you are not slowly beginning to feel more like yourself, and especially if you're starting to feel worse, you really want to start to reach out for help and support.
We have one of the moms we heard from earlier, Phoebe Graham. She is describing the baby blues. A friend asked her about them, and here's how she defines it.
A friend of mine asked me about the baby blues because she's due soon, too. And, I mean, if the baby blues are mourning, agony, ecstasy, joy, gratefulness, and rage, then yeah, absolutely. They're totally real.
So that's Phoebe Graham talking about her own experience. I'm here with Megan Roberts from Moms Supporting Moms and Melanie Patrick, the co-owner of Emerald Doulas in Durham. Megan, I know that you struggled with postpartum mood challenges. Could you take us inside what that experience was like for you? What were the thoughts that you were having?
Yeah, absolutely. I have three children now. I've experienced many challenges in my life, and it is still, after my first child in 2014, the experience of postpartum anxiety for me is still the most difficult period I've ever been through. I would describe it as just dread, extreme overwhelm. These mood challenges are not just mental, they're physical. You know, my body would buzz with worry and panic, insomnia. It was debilitating for me. And it took a combination of getting on some medication, on having an extremely supportive partner, and then I found Moms Supporting Moms and joined the group and have been an advocate ever since.
Melanie, can you take us into any experiences that you have had with mothers with postpartum mood challenges? Maybe help us understand, kind of building off of what Megan said, the range of symptoms and experiences people can have.
There is, Megan explained it really well. There's such a range, everything from just not feeling yourself to really debilitating feelings and thoughts and an inability to sleep, and especially now with the pandemic and concerns about babies getting sick or new parents getting sick or older parents, like the grandparents who typically come to help support, they're not coming often, not always. People are working it out, but there's such a lack. I think so many people are feeling a lack of support, and as Megan said, there is still support here. There are support groups around. You don't have to be diagnosed. You can just reach out for a support group. My understanding is most of the support groups in the area are free. Ours certainly are. And there's, you're not alone. That's a pervasive feeling that new parents have who are struggling, that they are alone. They're the only ones who feel like this. There's something wrong with me because I don't love my baby. I don't feel attached. And it's more common than any of these families typically realize that they're not alone.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so much stigma because you enter this experience with all of these societal expectations about what this moment should be and the sense that, you know, it's supposed to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. So to be experiencing something that feels so distant from that adds this extra layer of shame and confusion, I would assume. Megan, is that what people experience that you hear?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're broken.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's Karen Kleiman, who's a well-known social worker in this field. She says it is hard to reconcile the coexistence of profound love and incapacitating anguish. And I think that's what's happening. You know, you're still a good mom. This doesn't mean you don't love your baby. You love your baby, but you're also experiencing a really challenging situation and maybe anxiety, depression, overwhelm. And that doesn't mean that you can't get help, and you're definitely not alone.
And there's all kinds of extra decisions that new parents are making in this moment about, you know, once you bring the baby home, who are you going to allow to be your support network, if anyone, who's going to be able to be in contact with the baby. And I want to hear from one woman named Deandra Green, who's one of the moms in Megan's group, who eventually did decide to allow an in-person visit. Let's hear a bit about her experience.
On February 21st, I had twins. I had a boy and a girl. Their original due date was March the 9th. I thank God that they didn't go at their due date or even past their due date, the situation would have been so much different if they did, or if they were birthed in March compared to what it was in February. So my entire family, they live in the Bahamas. My husband's family, they live in Florida, and we have some close friends here. But my in-laws actually just came for the first time because they say, yeah, still kind of crazy, but it's been there 3 months now. We haven't seen them yet. I haven't had all of my postpartum care. It's just because everything's kind of limited at the doctor's right now. It's just, I don't know. It's been a whirlwind.
So that's Deandra Green from Cary, who gave birth to twins in February. And I'm here with Megan Roberts and Melanie Patrick. So Melanie, what else can be done to kind of mitigate the effects of this postpartum in a pandemic trauma that people may be experiencing?
I think having open conversations with your support system. So what I'm hearing is my parents can't come to support the way we expected, so we're alone. Or my parents want to come, and that's not comfortable for me. And how do I say no without hurting their feelings? And where else can I get the support I need? So having those conversations, if you have a doula, talk with your doula. She can help you figure it out. If you don't, talk with your partner, talk with your friends, talk with your family. Open communication about concerns, the logistics of how to keep everybody as safe as possible will go a very long way. And talking about it before the baby's here, if possible.
Yeah, because there's an acknowledgement of the grief of a new grandparent, too. Like, they had a certain vision of what this moment may be like for them. So acknowledging that beforehand, before you get to that tense moment of the question around whether they can visit or not, probably a good thing. Megan, any other advice you would add?
About visitors?
Yeah, and just about ways to kind of mitigate the effects of this trauma in this moment.
Sure. I think that the number one thing is let yourself grieve. You know, let yourself grieve. You are feeling grief, and that's okay, and to feel that, and to allow grandparents to feel that. And then, of course, I'm a firm believer in peer support. That's what my program is based on. And so, you know, I've never experienced having a baby during a pandemic. And moms need someone else who's having this experience to relate to and talk to. So finding a fellow mom, finding a support group, finding someone who can really validate those feelings and be there for you and support you, I think is so important.
Melanie, have you heard about any innovative ways that people have celebrated new arrivals in this moment?
Absolutely. I think everybody's on Zoom a little bit more than we
like
to, but we also tend to have a love-hate relationship with it. It is keeping us connected. Zoom, FaceTime, Hangouts, all of those platforms. People are, I had a client recently who said that she had a Zoom baby shower, and that she so was not looking forward to it because all she could think of is we should be together. But then when she did it, she said she had a great time. It was so lovely to see everybody's faces. And so that's how we're connecting. Grandparents are meeting their grandbabies through the computer. People are doing drive-bys instead of sip and sees, which is a thing, and I'm not from the South, but apparently to meet the baby in your backyard or something is a thing. So instead of that, people are driving by, you know, the houses and waving, and families are sitting on the front porch or in the front yard so people can give their love that way. Those are the two main venues I've seen.
That's wonderful. Megan, anything else? I've heard of people kind of holding their baby up to the window as people drive by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. We're calling it a look and see. Hold it up to the window. And I think too, to remind moms that, you know, a lot of our conversation has been, you know, that's about baby and seeing the baby, and to just remember that mom deserves to be seen and cared for as well. She's a new mother, and maybe she needs some of that adult interaction without baby, and she needs to ask to be cared for and nurtured as well.
Thanks so much to both of you. Megan Roberts is a program coordinator for Moms Supporting Moms in Raleigh, and Melanie Patrick is a certified doula and the co-owner of Emerald Doulas in Durham. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Anita.
You can find out more about this show, our guest today, and other episodes of Embodied at our website, stateofthings.org. I'm Anita Rao.